Chapter 2, please. And please. So I'm going to ask one person. That's what I mean, one person. Rhonda, is this too loud or is it okay? It's a little loud, isn't it? Frenchie, down just a little bit. Thank you. We're going to continue to look at this passage tonight where I began in Sunday school. Now, everyone look up here for a moment. May I say something to you? When I was in the Philippines, I did an excessive amount of reading in my spare time, which was not much. And I have learned something that's horrible about Christians and churches. And I believe we are producing one group of those people right here. I think we see it tonight. What you find in churches tend to go very quickly within three generations to something. They used to call it deist, or they would call it Unitarians. In England, they call them Socinian, and you're saying, I don't know what that means. This is what that means, where you have a God, but you expect nothing from that God. It usually took three generations. What I'm seeing in our children is they don't expect much from God. And they don't expect much, and they don't get much, because they have parents who don't expect much. So when we talk about this tonight, Pastor Warren is not poo-pooing miracles in God's almighty power. We're talking about very, very, very specific things, because an overreaction is going to lead this church someplace. Have you ever wondered why kids just walk away from the faith? Because it doesn't mean anything. And the kids know it even while the parents continue with the habits. The kids realize, this doesn't mean much. It doesn't really change how mom and dad lives. Mom and dad just kind of have that cultural stuff from the past hanging over their head. By the way, what did I preach this morning on chastisement? How did that work? I'm looking around. I guess TV is more important. What do you think? Do you understand? It doesn't take too long. Not mad at anybody, it doesn't take very long for us to move in that direction. And Baptists have gone in that direction very quickly. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. The author says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers or different, various miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. We're going to continue tonight. We're going to pick up on this. If you weren't here in Sunday school, I'm just going to highlight what we talked about. And we will hopefully bring all this together this evening on the subject of signs, wonders, and miracles and the church. How does this all fit together? Our Father, we thank you that we can come before you. We thank you that you can hear and answer prayer. I wonder what we're passing on sometimes to our own children and grandchildren. Is it really just more of a cultural Christianity? I don't know. It would be nice if we were people that actually believed something and these beliefs impacted our lives and these were the passionate pursuits of our heart. Without the craziness of charismaticism, but yet none of the coldness that creeps into a church and into a person's lives. These are difficult subjects to get in a practical way into our life. Help us to hear tonight, we ask, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning we began on this subject of signs, wonders, miracles, and the church. You have in your notes the first entire point in the introduction is what we covered in Sunday school. So what I'll do is this. Let's begin. Everybody look up here and let's begin this way. What we have to look at, I am not going to repeat 45 minutes. So what we're going to do in 2 minutes is say this. There are two extremes positions. Now, I'm going to make a distinction between miracles, which I think I'll be able to demonstrate beyond all question in just a few moments from Ephesians 1, that God still works miracles. If we do not believe that, shut the lights off, sell the building, get a life. Just watch TV with the rest of the folks that were here this morning. Quit playing games. And I'm serious. Let's not mess around. If God cannot save people, change people, then what are you here for? Now, there's two extremes. On one side, on the far right in your notes, there are no miracles. God doesn't do anything. We're so afraid or whatever, and we talked about this and did a good job in Sunday school. I'm not going to repeat it. Underneath that is the concept of closed. It means these people are closed to really God ever doing anything special. But they are not gullible. That's one extreme. On the other side, they are people that are seeking after signs and wonders. And by the way, there's a large group of people in America seeking after signs and wonders. I just came from the Philippines. Any charismaticism in the Philippines? Because the Philippines is a Catholic country, you have charismaticism every place. Because when they were Catholics, they were charismatics, and they're charismatics now that they say they're no longer Catholic. It's the same thing. That's the other extreme side, signs and wonders. So those are your two extremes. And on that side, you're open to God working, but unfortunately, you cannot tell if it's God working, demons working, or your imagination overworking. You don't know what it is. You're open, and as I say in your notes, you're gullible. Now, closer to this side is where I think there's a healthy position. I'm going to talk about this, so I won't go any further right now, but saying this, I believe that God does work miracles and do miracles in our midst and can miraculously do many different things, but I do not believe in what's called, from the Bible, called signs and wonders for this age. So I hold to a position where I am open to God working, open, but not gullible. So when I hear Benny Hinn, look up here. How many times does a pastor need to say the same thing? When I see television preachers, 45 minutes of music, the lights are down, the people are swaying, and look up here. By the way, get me. The moment you add that, you do not have anything to do with Christianity. Because Paul, Peter, Jesus had no music. They had no lights. They didn't dance for 45 minutes to get in the mood to receive the healing. There was none of that kind of foolishness. When Jesus healed somebody, he healed somebody. And as I have said and I can demonstrate, when you go through the Gospels, he healed people in public spaces. Noel, only a Filipino in this room, I'm looking. I think only a Filipino could understand that. Because when you go to Manila, how often do you see people? 3 in the morning, I'm driving home from the airport, and there's people every place. That's the ancient world, because people didn't go inside their house to a nice air-conditioned room. They stayed outside because it was cooler, talking, milling. Jesus is healing people in public. So did Paul, so did Peter. None of this stuff, let's go to the religious service, let's sing for an hour, let's sway. See, that eliminates that foolishness. All right, we'll go on. In your notes, I said this morning, and we'll just read this in one verse, signs and wonders, and I'm being very specifically, I'm not including miracles. Signs and wonders were always by God's sovereign will. Now, miracles would obviously be that also. Hebrews 2 very clearly says all of this was done according to his own will. So there's never been a time when God did anything that wasn't done according to his will. So my friend, what does that mean? That means no matter how much faith you have, no matter how much money you give, no matter who you call, no matter how much name it and claim it, no matter how much the preacher says in the name of Jesus, none of that matters. It is God's sovereign will in the New Testament and today. So God makes these choices. There was never some kind of a... What I learned from being around charismatics, I was going to ask my wife, but I can't even remember the name. There was the laughing revival. I'm looking around here. Really, most of you are too young to even remember it. The laughing revival started in St. Louis. I know the church. You say, what's the laughing revival? Where you would go to church and people would just start laughing. And that was a revival. I know the church it started in. The last time I was through St. Louis, and I'm trying to remember when that was that when Don and Edna, we went there. And also when I went to see Vic, I drove right past the church. Look me in the eyes. That church has had 15 names since I have been here in Chicago 20 years. Because they have to keep reinventing the miraculous. But back in the 90s, in 93, 92, they had this laughing revival where people would laugh for 2 hours in a row. You've never seen it. You say, where's that in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. That's not important. Now they just keep reinventing themselves. They have a new name. I don't even know what it was. Constantly looking for this so-called miracle and something new and a new wave of the Spirit. No, it's God's sovereign will. Let me ask you a question before I go and start into the message. You do realize the couple was seated right back here this morning, yes, that just lost their mother of cancer. Did any of you weep? She just lost her mother this week. Yes. Most of you didn't even know she was sick. My friend, let's not talk about miracles. Let's not talk about signs and wonders in some church where you get zapped and get the Holy Spirit. Let's go after, if God does that, take that healer and let's go down to the hospital. Clear it out. Shut it down. Jesus did that. Number two, now we get into what's very helpful for you, I believe. Signs and wonders, number two, were for a very specific purpose. They were for a very specific purpose. It's already in your notes. Notice very carefully what the text of the Bible says. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also, and it uses a Greek word that's found exactly one time in the Bible, right here. It has two prepositions on it. The basic word is normal. The basic word is martyreo, which we get martyr from. It means to witness or to bear witness to something. So God also with them and upon them bearing witness. How so? Both with signs and wonders and with divers or different kinds of miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. So signs and wonders in the first century were always done by his sovereign will. Secondly, they were for a very specific purpose. What was that purpose? It's in your notes. The purpose of signs and wonders was always to confirm new revelation. Specifically, to bear witness with and upon the apostolic message. So, I tell you what I need. I need several guys. How many do I need? Noel, can I borrow you? Are you going to lead the singing later? Why don't you come over here? Jim, you can stay awake, can't you? Yeah. Okay, good. You come over here. I was thinking Tim might not be able to stay awake. Jet lag is catching, by the way. He might have caught it from me. What was the purpose of these miracles? Now, we're going to read some text, but you're going to see something that keeps popping up. Here is Jesus. Stand up, Jesus. I'm telling Jesus to stand up. Why did he perform miracles? Well, some of it was to prove something, which would be who he was. And God and the Holy Spirit bore witness with these signs and miracles to demonstrate this is the Son of God. Then what about these guys? He represents the apostles and a small group of people for exactly the same reason. God, the Holy Spirit, sovereignly gave these men the ability to do things that made everybody go, wow. Why? To bear witness with and upon, look at me, the message that they preached. But you say, what about me in the middle? I'm just a pastor. Why doesn't God do that for me? Answer the question. Because the message is not mine. I'm not Jesus. Jesus has already been declared to be the Son of God by miracles and signs and wonders. The apostolic message has already been demonstrated to be true. I'm not preaching my own message. I better not be preaching my own message. The job of a pastor is to preach the Word of God. Thanks, gentlemen. You can sit down for right this second. Read with me, if you would, in your notes. So let's look at that statement again. The purpose of signs and wonders. Well, he tells you in verse 4, God also bearing them witness. To bear witness to what they who Jesus was, and in the case of the apostles, what their message was to confirm new revelations. Specific, and by the way, remember that, because the third point, we'll come back to that. Specifically to bear witness with and upon the apostolic message. I did not put this in your notes, but you might want to. When you read the book of Acts, you'll find that signs and wonders are pretty much narrowed down to the apostles and just a little bit of another group. Let's read together Acts chapter 2, would you? Acts 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. By how? How did God approve him? Miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, right out there where you were. By the way, not at church, not in religious gatherings, right out there in the public world. He approved it. He did this in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. You know this. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of them. Verse 42. And it says, and they, the church, the believers, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the teaching, the message of the apostles, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. Everybody came under a proper sense of fear. And many wonders and signs were done. Who? By the apostles. Thank you. Chapter 5 and verse 12 in your notes. And by the hands of? Folks, please look at me. I am not an apostle. This is the reason the moment, look at me, the moment you move away from Bible-believing Christianity to charismaticism and you move away from it, the pastor starts calling himself other names. They start becoming an apostle or a prophet or the man of God. Friend, I'll tell you what I am. I'm a man of God in the sense that I'm a child of God, but I am a person called to proclaim the Word of God. I don't need approval because the message I preach, the Jesus, the Son of God, has already been approved by signs and wonders. The authors of Scripture, the apostles, have already been approved by signs and wonders. And my job is to proclaim that message. Not, by the way, I don't need approval. I don't preach my own message, or I should not. Verse 12 again. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And it does not mean in a building. They didn't have a building. Acts 15, verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, because what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the what? Folks, that's not a church. That's among unbelievers, many who became believers by them. Acts 19:11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Something unique, something different. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle. I mean, the whole idea is this is what sets the apostle apart from a normal individual or even from a pastor. Were wrought among you. in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And by the way, signs, wonders, mighty deeds is the same thing as miracles. It's the same Greek word. We'll look at that later, but when it says mighty deeds, that's identical to miracles. Here's some basic thoughts. Signs and wonders are found in the early church. We don't question that. The early church, you do find signs and wonders, of course. Signs and wonders are exclusively connected to Jesus. They're exclusively connected to Jesus, the apostles, and their delegates, a very small group of men right around the apostles. Barnabas, it's cardinal if we call him an apostle or not, but there's a small group of men right around the apostles that potentially did signs and wonders. But other than that, it's Jesus and the apostles primarily. Next, signs and wonders bear witness. They bear witness to Christ and the apostles, authenticating their message and ministry. Authenticating their message and ministry. Please look at me. I say one more time. I don't know how many times I need to say this, because when I'm all done, I'd like to see how much we know. I don't need anybody to authenticate my ministry. I am here to preach the word. The pastor's job is leading a church, overseeing a church, and feeding a church. I have no message of my own that's unique. Pastor Koch better not preach any messages unique. We preach the word of God. But when the apostles came on the scene, and when Jesus came here, there had to be something that set and said, this is the Son of God here. And these are the people whom the Son of God has chosen to give us what we call now the New Testament. There had to be something special that pointed to them and affirmed that he is the Christ. I am a pastor. Now, does that bother me? Not at all. But it does some people. So if you grew up under the Jack Hiles kind of preaching, we might as well come right out and say it. Unless you didn't listen, the pastors try to put themselves, they won't say they're apostles, but they'll start speaking things like, God in some unique way. No, not in a unique way. Look at me, friend. I, as a pastor, am on exactly the same level you're on. I am not above you. I am not different than you. I am a priest unto God because of Jesus. I have the same access to God that you have. I have no more. I have no less. Are you comfortable with that? But people aren't. So they look for Baptists that are what I call halfway charismatic Baptists, where the pastor act like he has something that normal people don't have. He does not. No pastor does. We're in the exact same place. I don't have my own message. I have the message of the apostles, the New Testament, the gospel. So signs and wonders bear witness to Christ and the apostles, authenticating their message and ministry. Now, I'm going to walk through the Gospel of John. Forgive me. I don't know why the King James does this, and it's just wrong. It butchers the word sign sometimes, especially in the Gospel of John. It's just the way it is. We'll look at this and walk through it. The same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these. Semeia is signs, by the way. It's not miracles. It is never miracles. It is never miracles. It is sign, period. And if you don't like that, too bad. Actually, the Greek word is, if you know anything about literary theory, is semiotics comes from it. It's the study of how linguistic signs are formed. I mean, he's saying, you have done some signs that nobody could do. Let's continue. That makes some of you nervous if you're a King James only person. I'm sorry. John chapter 5, verse 31. Jesus says, if I bear witness, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not the testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which my Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. 5:38 says, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him you believe not. John 7:31, it says, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ, when the Messiah cometh, will he do more miracles? Again, sorry, it's the Greek word sign. Signs than these? Is it possible? I mean, he's doing the signs. Look at friend, he's doing those things that point he is the Christ. People should have known that. They should have recognized this. There are no miracles that demonstrate I'm a pastor, by the way. There are nothing that points to the pastor's role. That's a different role. John 9 and verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, well, how can a man that is a sinner do such, again, signs? How can he do such semeia, plural? And there was a division among them. John 11:45, one of my favorite texts on this. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many, again, signs. Verse 11:48, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. John 12:37, but though he had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on him. John 15:24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did. You see, Jesus, yes, he performed miracles, but they were of a certain variety that was more than just a miracle. They were a sign that pointed and affirmed, this is the one. The signs and miracles had a very specific purpose. In your notes, I'm going to repeat all these statements. Signs and wonders are found in the early church. They are exclusively connected to Jesus, the apostles, and their delegates. Signs and wonders bear witness to Christ and the apostles, authenticating their message and ministry. Next, signs and wonders ceased. They ceased when their purposes, when their purpose was accomplished. Signs and wonders ceased when their purpose was accomplished. When I got back to the States, Peter Sy picked me up at the airport. We drove in, we're driving down Green Bay Road to my house, and I see signs for the election. What was wrong with the signs? They didn't serve a... Oh, you mean those signs have a purpose? By the way, it was 2 days late from the election. Election was over. Signs have a purpose. You say, why doesn't Jesus do these great signs? Friends, it's not because he can't do something. It's not because his hands are tied. The signs have a purpose. And when the purpose, when Jesus is demonstrated to be the Son of God by the signs and wonders that he did, guess what? The purpose is fulfilled. We don't need to keep pointing. It looks like those signs, and you still see them all over town. I saw some today when we were driving home, and I'm like, I wonder when they pull the signs out of the ground. Some of the people had already lost. Some had won. You say, what were the specific purposes? Let me ask another question. I didn't write it like this in your notes, but here's the question you're going to have to answer. If you're going to talk to people, which means if you're going to get out of your little Baptist bubble, you're going to find people says, I don't believe that signs and wonders ended in the first century. Why do we believe they have? Because we believe their purpose was fulfilled. What was their purpose? Here it is. Here's three of them. There might be a fourth one, too. First of all, the apostolic gospel was authenticated. When the last of the apostles died, the gospel had been authenticated by the signs and wonders which they did. By the way, friend, the church preaches the gospel and the whole counsel of God. It doesn't reinvent the gospel. We don't have a different message than we had 10 years ago. There are no new waves of the Spirit. It's the same gospel. Next, Christ's church, or the church, was established. The church was established. Now, this is tricky. I don't have time to demonstrate it. There's a second thing that has to happen. The church. When was the church established? Well, the church was established on the day of Pentecost in the sense that that's the first day the church began. The church could not begin before Pentecost. Jesus had to have died. He had to have been buried. He had to have risen again. He had to ascend back to the Father before he could give gifts unto man, and therefore the church then be established. But when did the transition happen? Please look at me. If you read the history of the church, this is what you're going to find out. In the first century, there were signs and wonders among the apostles. By the time you get past 100, all of a sudden you don't see much of this. Charismatics will say yes, because the people were sinful. They didn't have faith. They didn't believe. No. Another thing that happened, when the church was established, it was established on the day of Pentecost, but there's a transition period in the book of Acts. And I'm going to tell you when it was really totally established, when the temple fell. When did the temple fall? AD 70. You have to understand, once the temple was destroyed, there was no more chance of anybody going back to the temple. Temple was gone. So I don't believe the time of signs and wonders stopped in one afternoon. I don't think you look back and say it was June the 2nd, 70 AD or whatever, but there was a period of time during the apostles' lives when the church was established and the temple was done away with. There was no more Judaism. My friend, Judaism has been here for 2,000 years, but understand something. It's not the Judaism of the Old Testament. That's impossible, because Judaism requires sacrifice, and there's no temple to sacrifice in. That was part of this. Next, in your notes, New Testament revelation was given and completed. New Testament revelation was given and completed. So if you ask me, when did these signs and wonders totally stop? They more or less stopped by AD 100, because the gospel had been authenticated, the church had been established, the revelation had been given and completed, and everything was finished. And from that point forward, God still works miracles. God can miraculously intervene. God can miraculously do things. But by this period of time, there was no more need to keep saying he's the Christ. There was no more need to say these are the apostles. That had all kind of been a done deal. We now have a church established, we now have scripture, we now have the authentic gospel, things were in place. In your notes, miracles and or God's mighty deeds, which in Greek those are the same, mighty deeds and miracles are identical. Miracles and God's mighty deeds continued in answer to prayer and according to his sovereign will. Not for a moment did the Christians ever think that God couldn't intervene. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, would you please? Ephesians 1. Everybody find it? Ephesians 1 and verse 19. Now listen, Pastor Warren is making a distinction. Not everybody would hold to this distinction. I believe that God miraculously works in our midst today. I believe he works miraculously as much as at any time. However, I don't think he does what's called the sign gifts in the New Testament, which were either to point to Christ, which had the purpose of establishing this is the Christ, this is the Messiah, and on the other hand, they had the purpose of establishing those apostles. That had been finished, but his miraculous power, his mighty deeds still went on. Verse 19, please. Ephesians 1, verse 19. What is the Greek word for miracle? Everybody in this room knows it, more or less. Dunamis, dynamite. That's the word for miracle, dunamis. It's also the word for mighty deed. It just means power. By the way, God still is powerful. And you and I can still experience that and see God work. Look what it says, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his, what? Power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Friend, just because we say there are no miracles, there are no signs and wonders, does not mean we become like most of us have become. Which is, we expect God to do nothing, we ask God to do nothing, and we sleep through life. Let me ask you a question. Have your children prayed for God to intervene? When's the last time? I said this morning. I said it in Sunday school. I'm beginning to realize in this church, we are not passing much on to our children except external habits. What about this? Do we really believe that God can change someone's life? I do. Maybe part of that is God changed my life. Verse 20. By the way, where does this power come from, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Oh yes, friend, miracles are God's mighty power and mighty deeds continue in answer to prayer and according to his sovereign will. And I never want this church, folks, I'm zero charismatic with all that foolishness, but just as ugly is going to the other extreme where we live our lives never expecting God to do anything, never asking God to do anything. It's a cold, dead religion on one side or on the other side. It's goofball stuff. We have a miracle right here. It's usually Fawn's phone going off. All right, number three in your notes. Signs and wonders in or during a strategic time period. Signs and wonders in or during a strategic time period. Are you ready? How shall we escape? Let's see if you all can figure this out. You think you can? How many of you can add past one, two, or three? Everybody can get to three. Now, maybe you're not Mrs. Hall's math. Let's see if we can do this. Gentlemen, can you two guys stand up? Stand up. Pastor Kwok, you need to stand and read the verse. Guys, come over here. Here's Jesus. We know who Jesus is, yes? Here is the apostles. He's not only one apostle, he's all the apostles in one. Go ahead. Began to be spoken by whom?
The Lord.
Jesus. Go ahead.
And was confirmed unto us.
Who's the us? Let's read the whole thing again.
How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us?
The us would have to be the author and those that are hearing what he's written, yes? And it was confirmed unto us by? By who? How many generations do you have in this verse? Jesus, them that heard him, us. Let's try it again. Read the verse. This is really tricky. Got that? By the Lord. And was confirmed unto? So the author is saying what about himself? See how smart you are tonight. He's not one of those that heard Jesus. Wow. Actually, he's saying two things about himself. I'm not one of those that heard Jesus, and what I know of the apostolic message came from the apostles, which eliminates... Yeah, Paul can't be that guy, unless Paul in Galatians 1 can say one thing and Hebrews 2 say something else. This author is saying, I'm not Paul. Because look at me, Paul's one of these guys. Hello? Now let's read it again. Let's see if we can add this up. Because we're going to take one, we're going to tack one more thing on this. Go ahead. Got that? Got the Lord, yes. Us, the author and the hearers, yes. By them that heard him, which is distinct from the us. I think we're kind of there. Mm-hmm. Now, some translations don't put the next word in here, but it has to be in here from the Greek text. They don't do it because of charismaticism. Verse 4, please. God also bearing who's the them? Come on, who's the them? Do you understand what's being stated in this text? This author is saying, I'm not one of them. I'm one of the us. I'm like the readers. And the miracles, signs, and wonders were for them and were for him. By the way, I can't get into this big Greek word, but this big Greek word has the preposition soon on the beginning, which means with, and epi, which means upon them. And I don't know why modern translations leave them out, because it's like it ends up being witnessing upon nobody. It bears witness upon them and with them and him, and I'm thus. I am one of the us, the author is. You say, who wrote Hebrews? I don't know. Somebody that was probably an associate of Paul probably wrote Hebrews. We don't know. But this is what I do know. Are you listening? Read the main point again. Signs and wonders were during a strategic time period. Thank you, Tim. Everybody look up here. Let's see if we can remember point number two. Signs and wonders, primary purpose. Authenticate what? Christ and apostles' message. The author of Hebrews is, he's not one of those. So the when these signs and wonders happened, he even tells you they happened for them, not for us. And what you find in history is the moment you get out of the first century, you no longer have signs and wonders because their purpose was fulfilled. Thank you, gentlemen. It took us a while to get to those three people there. I know that was tough. Let's continue on. Stay up here because I might want to demonstrate that again. In your notes, let's kind of narrow down sign, wonder, and miracle. And I don't know why in the world that I have two of them singular and one of them plural. That's Frenchie's fault. I'll change that in the notes. A sign, semeion, semiotics. A sign is simply this. It is the why of the miracle. The why of the miracle, or of the miracles, plural. It's the why of the miracle. What it is pointing to or toward. Now, let me say this, friend. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, was that a sign? Yes. Was that a miracle? Yes. Was that a wonder? Yes, it was actually all three. Let me give you the definitions and we'll see how we can tie these together. A wonder, on the other hand, and wonder in the New Testament, I think, is always translated wonder, teretas. It causes you, this is not real profound, folks, it's something that causes you to stop and wonder. Yes, that's exactly what it does. If you want to know what it does in your real world, drive on Highway 294 and see somebody in a fender bender, and grown people like you. It's like, have you never seen someone have a fender bender? A wonder just gets your attention. It's like, that's what it does. A wonder causes you to stop and wonder. Other words, awe, amazement. Awe and amazement. So a sign is the why. It's, you know, when you see a sign, it's pointing to something else, trying to get you to think about what's it pointing towards. Why is it here? The wonder stops your attention. A miracle, on the other hand, is simply the miracle itself. The mighty power, dunamis. We get the word dynamite from it. Don't be too goofy here. It just means power. So in some cases, there was a man named Lazarus. He was buried in the ground. He was decomposing. Jesus performed a miracle. Now, here, let me ask you a question. Could Jesus raise someone from the dead that was already rotting? Yes, but let's ask a second question. Does he? I would say no. Because it's not that he cannot. He has the power. What purpose would it serve? Well, you say we need to demonstrate that Jesus is the Christ. Do you ever read somebody that said something like this? They have Moses. If they won't hear them, though someone rose from the dead, they won't hear him either. You see, folks, Jesus has already been demonstrated he's the Son of God. The book of John is filled with these signs. The apostles have already been affirmed that they're the apostles. The truth is here. Nothing more can make a person believe this, I'm sorry to say. We continue. So I believe the difference is there are some things Jesus will not do today, not because he cannot, but because they do not fulfill a purpose. I have never prayed for someone to rise from the dead. Ernest Angley. Do any of you remember that knucklehead? One of the weirdest guys I ever saw on television. He looked like a cartoon character. And the way if you think about the most cartoon character you could ever make of a Pentecostal preacher, he was the guy. Well, his wife died of cancer. They buried it right out in the front of the church because he was going to raise her from the dead. There's a lot of problems with that. By the way, I do believe Jesus has power. I believe he can do things in our lives. Let's look at these verses together, please, as we move forward. Luke 10:17. This is even during Jesus' own ministry. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils or the demons are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding. In this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names or what? John 10:41 says, and many resorted unto him and said, John did no sign or miracle. It would have been a miracle too, but sign is the Greek word. But all things that John spake of this man were true. I'm going to give two thoughts in your notes, and we're going to be done in a moment. God's power and miracles, especially in relationship to salvation, are the same. Now, I want everyone to look at me. I think our church has a weakness. One weakness on one side is some of us don't know any unsaved people. Actually, some of us don't even know saved people. Almost all the people getting saved in this church are getting saved through two or three different avenues. And you either know if you're part of that or if you're not. It's kind of tragic. I think a lot of us are so in the Baptist bubble, we don't know unsaved people even live. And for those that are in the Baptist bubble, look at me. You get frustrated because you've been sold a wooden nickel. That there's some kind of miraculous 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and people get saved. Jesus called getting saved the new birth. That is the greatest miracle of all. And my friend, I can't give a technique to open someone's eyes. There is no, you say when someone gets saved, it is a miracle. It is a first order miracle because God truly has to open someone's eyes for them to see and for them to understand and for them to grasp the gospel. I wish it was some kind of technique. I wish you could talk people into it. But my way of viewing is this: God's power, miraculous power, especially in relationship to salvation, is continuous. It's always available. God can save sinful people. He can change lives. He can change your life. Now, signs and wonders in your notes. That is a different story. When do we have signs and wonders? Gentlemen, can I borrow you two guys again? What was unique going on at this time? What did this guy here do? Peter, Paul, James, John, what did he do? What did they do? They also wrote something. What did they write? There were exactly three times in the Bible where you're going to find, I'm being very specific, signs and wonders. You find signs and wonders just explode. And you see in your notes, I'm trying to give you continuity and discontinuity. There's a small period of time, and this is around the time of Moses. Why during the time of Moses would you have signs and wonders? Pachungai, why during Moses' time would you have signs and wonders? Pachungai, do not do that. Why during Moses' time would you have signs and wonders? What did Moses do? Not a trick question. What did he write? So it's not a trick question. By the way, during the time of Moses, he wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and God confirmed Moses as his prophet and writer. Yes? And you see, by the way, you don't see miracles during all those people's time. You see Abraham, there's long stretches of time you don't see anything in Abraham's life. Yeah, there's a miracle when his son is born, but there's a lot of, like most of us, not much happening. But when Moses, when God lifted Moses up and then he started putting together the Pentateuch, God affirmed, confirmed the message of Moses by signs and some too under Joshua. That's a big pivot point. All right? When's the second time? You see how I have this. The dot, dot, dot means there's breaks. There's not much. There's a miracle here or there, but you don't see this big outburst of signs and wonders. When's the next time? We said it this morning. Elijah and Elisha, which were the first of the prophets. They themselves did not write, but they themselves. So in this chain of events, if I can change this, this could be Moses. During Moses' time and a little bit during Joshua, you just see. By the way, how many Red Sea miracles do you have? Do you expect if you were going to a charismatic church, he said, we're going to Lake Michigan on Sunday, and we're going to have a dividing of the lake. Well, of course, no charismatic pastor would do that, would he? Because he knows he's fake. Hello? Moses didn't. Because what Moses did was exactly what was supposed to happen. God confirmed and affirmed Moses as his prophet. During Elijah and Elisha's time, in the beginning of the prophets, God did a flurry of things. But my friend, read the book of Jeremiah and see how many miracles God did. A few. But it wasn't much of a miracle when they put Jeremiah down in that hole in the mud. And he's down there in the mud. You know, that'd be real pleasant for a few weeks. And then they drag him out. They don't even have a rope to drag him out. They take old rotten clothing and drag him out. I mean, you don't find a lot of miracles in Jeremiah's time. Why? Look at me. Because there's no faith? No. These signs and miracles happen during times of revelation. Revelation, signs, and miracles. Moses, Elijah, and Elisha, and guess what other time? Jesus and the apostles. Those are the three times, and there's going to be a fourth time. Tribulation period. Now, the problem is I'm not going to be here, so you'll have to ask someone else what it's going to be like during that time. Thank you, gentlemen. I think at that note, we will be done for tonight. So does everyone understand three simple premises? Signs and wonders were always by God's sovereign will. They were for a very specific, what? Purpose. What was the purpose? To authenticate the message and the messenger. And they were during a very strategic time when God was giving Scripture. Moses, the prophets, the New Testament writers. And after that, and during those periods of time, you find very little in the way of the miraculous. Let's stand, please, and we'll be done for this evening.